This year's been a roller coaster, and not the fun kind. Business, no. It's a dangerous time not to know your numbers. That's why you need NetSuite by Oracle. Over 31,000 businesses have the confidence they need. NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing offer. Head to netsuite.com/minute.
This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, September 27th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. One of the biggest promises of workplace technology is that it can make us all more productive. And increasingly, white-collar employers are embracing monitoring software to keep track of just how productive their workers are. But is this kind of workplace surveillance really giving an accurate picture of the work being done? On today's show, our tech columnist Christopher Mims joins us to explain how workplace surveillance software works, why it's being used more often, and if this complicated and potentially intrusive technology lives up to its promises. That's after these headlines. Amazon has announced a second Prime Day-like event. The two-day-long Prime Early Access sale is designed to mark the start of the holiday shopping season. It'll begin at midnight Pacific time on October 11th and run for 48 hours. Prime members will get discounts during the event, which Amazon hopes will help it expand on the success of its big annual shopping event. It's also a continuation of Amazon's strategy of holding multi-day sales to boost revenue. With inflation still high, the new event could help the e-commerce giant in the important fourth quarter holiday period. Hurricane Ian is forcing NASA to move its moon rocket Artemis 1 to a storage facility. Strong wind conditions from Ian are expected across Florida this week, including in the area around the Kennedy Space Center. Moving the rocket to storage means the next launch opportunity won't come until between October 17th and the end of the month. The Artemis mission has already been delayed twice due to technical issues. A cyber attack has left the company behind hotel brands like Holiday Inn dealing with a trail of unhappy customers and hotel owners. Intercontinental Hotels Group said it detected a breach on September 6th that led to booking and other systems being shut down. Now, franchisees of IHG have filed a class action lawsuit over how the parent company handled the attack. Hotel owners in the company's 17 brands say they received one email from executives explaining the impact of the attack. They say they can't respond to angry customers and are losing tens of thousands of dollars as a result. The lawsuit aims to collect compensation for the franchisees and get IHG to disclose the data that was exposed and how the breach happened. A spokesperson for IHG says the company hasn't seen evidence of unauthorized access to guest data and that the company is focused on supporting its hotel owners. And where can restaurants turn if they can't find enough workers? How about artificial intelligence? Some casual dining and takeout chains like McDonald's and Applebee's have started diverting customer calls to voice bots. The AI can handle reservations and takeout orders, and supporters say it can take pressure off the wait staff. Our design reporter Katie Dayton says the bots have other advantages too.
Robots are always polite. They're unfailingly polite. They have a script they can't diverge from. If someone calls up on a Friday night and the person that answers the phone in the pizza place is stressed and maybe not on their top customer service behavior, then that can really put customers off. So even though you might be getting more robotic service, it's a more reliable service.
Some voice bots can even detect if a customer gets annoyed or confused and direct them to a human member of staff. All right, speaking of tech in the workplace, more bosses are using surveillance software to track employees. But what kind of picture does it actually give them? We'll discuss after the break.
The energy landscape is changing before our eyes. With rising oil and gas prices, alternative fuel options are looking more attractive. But is your portfolio keeping up? At Global X ETFs, our approach to investing in renewables looks beyond what you might have considered. Visit globalxetfs.com to learn how you can invest in the rise of clean energy.
A key goal for many managers is achieving peak productivity. But knowing whether employees are actually doing their assigned tasks, keeping on track, and focusing during work hours is tricky, especially if not everyone is in the office. To address that, more employers are turning to so-called surveillance software. These sophisticated tools watch and analyze how white-collar workers are doing their jobs. But do they really offer a good picture of how the work is being done? Joining us to discuss this is our technology columnist, Christopher Mims. Hi, Christopher. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Zoe. Always a pleasure to be here.
So what exactly are these technologies looking for, and how do they do it?
So workplace surveillance technologies are incredibly broad in what and how they do things. They range from just workplace health monitoring, which is the overall level of activity in a company, to very intrusive, very individual worker-targeted tools that actually live on the computer or mobile device that an employee has, and which can do everything from take screenshots of what they're working on, every few minutes, to monitoring the number of messages they send and how long they spend in corporate apps and how long they spend in, Facebook or someplace else that the employer doesn't want them to be. And, the most intrusive ones can even use the webcam of, say, a laptop to take a picture of the employee to verify that they're, sitting at their desk.
How does this software make it onto the devices that employees are using?
So if a company issues a device, of course, they might have this software pre-installed. Some companies make installing this software or agreeing to this kind of monitoring, sometimes it's done through the cloud, a condition of working remotely or working from home.
I mean, you mentioned that there's a wide variety of these kinds of tools, but I guess sort of generally, how widespread is the use of this sort of surveillance technology?
So this technology, it really exploded over the past 2.5 years during the course of the pandemic. One analyst at Gartner told me that before the pandemic, 30% of small to large U.S. companies used some kind of worker surveillance system, and that as of today, more than 60% use it. So, the number of companies that use it doubled, and now a majority of U.S. companies are using some kind of worker surveillance software, whether their workers are in the office or working remotely.
When we're talking about the different surveillance, is this software that people might be more commonly familiar with, things that are on, say, Google Workspace or Microsoft 365?
Yes. I think one thing that people don't realize is that, every common cloud-based software productivity suite, whether it's Microsoft's or Google's or Salesforce or, I could name dozens of others, those all gather data, which is then accessible to the corporation that's paying for that license. So there's tons of data being gathered by those productivity suites that maybe Google or Microsoft isn't keen to make accessible to bosses, but if bosses want it, they can either do their own analysis or use a third party to extract all of that data and get a really detailed understanding of, when you're at your desk, when you're working, when messages are sent, what actions are taken within applications.
What have the companies that make this kind of software said about its use?
Microsoft has said that they are careful in the data that they do make available to company leaders to obscure individual employee identities, to only give data that, represents a week or a longer time period so that they're not giving managers, moment to moment or day to day data on this sort of thing. That said, if managers want to extract that kind of data from Microsoft's productivity software, they can use a third party and do it themselves. But Microsoft itself is very wary of making that kind of data directly available.
Okay, let's talk about its effectiveness, though. I mean, how good is this software at giving bosses kind of a picture of how productive their workforce actually is?
At this point, a lot of these companies are basically conducting a giant social science experiment. The literature is very mixed it's not clear whether or not productivity equals activity. As a matter of fact, an expert at Microsoft told me point blank, activity does not equal productivity. You know, a lot of this software came out of contexts where maybe you could imagine that inputs equal outputs, such as call centers, you know, the number of calls that somebody handles during a day. Although, of course, forcing people to do more of those leads to burnout and turnover, which leads to its own problems. But especially as you get into more complicated knowledge work, you know, experts who studied this for a long time, including an academic who was formerly at MIT, who's gone on to start his own company called Humanize, he told me that, you know, unless you really dig deep and examine how every one of the teams in a company accomplishes its work, you can't begin to measure their productivity with a tool like this, because every single one of those teams is going to have a different mix of tools, of work that they do online versus offline. And you can really kind of lead yourself astray or confirm your own biases if you're just a manager trying to look at this data and say, oh, so-and-so logged in at this time of day and sent this many emails. Like, that must be why they are productive or not.
Is there any way to skirt the system if you're a worker? Is there any way to avoid being tracked?
I don't think there is anymore. I mean, there are workers who said in response to my piece, I quit a Fortune 500 job because they wanted to install so-called bossware on my computer. That's the most intrusive form of employee monitoring. But, you know, if you're using Microsoft or Google or any of these other kinds of software, you might not know that your employers are watching your activity throughout the day unless you ask them.
All right, that was our technology columnist, Christopher Mims. Thanks for joining us, Christopher.
Zoe, thanks for having me.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. For more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, leave us a 5-star rating and a review wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
The Wall Street Journal editorial page is always on top of the latest from Washington and around the world. I'm Kyle Peterson, and you can join me, Paul Jagot, Kim Strassel, and our colleagues on the Potomac Watch podcast each Monday through Friday. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button on your favorite podcast app.